I want to spend some time this morning. We talked about the Word of God being the most prevalent thing. And there's a lot of people that think that the Word of God is just learning the Bible. And all over the world, you've got people who have become students of the Bible. And a student of the Bible is not a Christian, is a student of the Bible. And much studying is a weary of the flesh. But the scriptures are there to do something. And you've got to understand that learning for learning's sake is useless. I have never been one of those who likes to learn something. I hated Latin because it seemed to me an odious occupation to learn Latin. When I went to Israel, I was amazed that you could go from one pile of stones to another. The only thing I liked was the Lake of Galilee, where it was pleasant because there were no buildings around and you could see. And it was a nice hot spring there. And it was enjoyable to swim. But apart from that, it bored me to death. I don't like just seeing tombs. You can see tombs around any churchyard in England. And, you know, it's not very inspiring, is it? Well, let's study the living. And the Word of God is living. And we need a living Word of God, not a dead letter. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy, you'll find this. Paul writes to Timothy and explains. He says, look, Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy 4. Paul was making it plain. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, that sound teaching, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound teaching, but after their own lusts, that's their own desires, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In other words, truth is going to go out the window. And what's going to happen is they're going to get the gospel they want. Not the true gospel of Jesus Christ, but the teaching that they want, which suits their lifestyle, suits their desires, suits what they want. That's why so many people are happy to get caught up in a prosperity doctrine. Oh, you know. Or they come and they tell you, you've got to fast and pray, as though that somehow will earn you something. When God makes it quite plain, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. God does it. And if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. And all your fasting and prayer is of no account. It's not the way to come into Christ. Well, they're told if you give so much, God will give you. That isn't Christianity. I believe Jesus sent us to preach, to teach and heal. Freely receive, freely give. Amen? You know, this idea of making a business out of it. God deliver us. There is a principle of tithing. I believe in it. It's right. It's fables. It's not sound doctrine, sound teaching. It's false. Look, if we've got to earn our salvation and we've got to earn the blessing of God, we're in trouble. Every one of us. Because I believe in faith. By grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. And you don't have to pay for it. Glory to God. Turn to the person next to you and say, what you hear today will be free. You don't have to do anything. Glory to God. God doesn't want you to go hungry. I'll tell you what, if you're a visitor here, we have people who feed you after the meeting. We've got families. You'll be welcome to come and stay. We'll feed you. You don't have to pay. What's wrong when the Church of Jesus Christ ends up with money changers' tables? It's wrong. They won't endure sound doctrine. Turn to fables. Oh, well, if you want God to bless you, if you want God to heal you, you better fast for 10 days. It's free. Glory to God. Free. Freely you've received, freely give. Is that plain? Hello. Is that plain? And God doesn't want you to go hungry. God does not want you to get all spiritual. God does not need you to do anything. Jesus did it all 2,000 years ago. Thank you very much for your efforts. The sooner you stop it, the better. If you think that you can earn anything from God. My dear friend, the Archbishop Benson Eder-Hoser, he did not like fables. I remember one day he went to a place, he told me about it. He went to a place up in the north of Nigeria where this so-called prophet inhabited. They hadn't had rain for 2 years. He had dreadlocks, long dreadlocks, and he'd been a month in the mountains, so-called fasting, and he was considered a great prophet. And he was sitting on the platform, and Benson Eder-Hoser went there, and there was this man, and while Benson got up to preach, he was sitting going, you know, jabbering away. And Benson began to preach again, and this man started muttering again. So my dear friend the Archbishop said, come down here and kneel down. And he got him to kneel in the front, and he laid his hands on him and rebuked that spirit. And all the pastors were a bit upset. Man sat there furious. And the Archbishop turned to him and said, tomorrow I'm going to cut your hair off. You're a disgrace. And a man was more furious. He said, I shall take shears to those dreadlocks. Glory to God. I like a man of God who's kind of deals with the things right there. And now everyone got upset. So there was a meeting the next morning at 10 a.m. And the Archbishop turned up, and all the pastors were in there, and this so-called man of God, this great prophet, was there, and they were all inside, and they locked the doors so the Archbishop couldn't get in. And he could hear them shouting and raging against him. How dare the archbishop come and criticize their great prophet? How dare they? How dare he stand up against this man who everyone acknowledged was a great man of God? How dare? Who did he think he was? And my good friend waited 20 minutes, knocked on the door and they wouldn't open it. So he kicked the door in. Glory to God. Kicked it in. And when he got the door, it burst open as he kicked it. You know, he was strong. And as it flew open, he took a bottle of oil and he smashed it against the doorpost and he poured it across the door. And he said, anyone that leaves this room before they've repented and got right with God is a dead man. No one chose to leave. They'd seen him raise the dead. They weren't about to die. And the pastors, with one voice, who do you think you are? And he walked into the midst and he told the man who was supposed to be a man of God, he said, kneel down. And the man knelt. And he took a pair of shears out of his dress, African dress, and he chopped off one of the dreadlocks, long dreadlock, and he gave it to a pastor and he said, you go and throw that in the sewer outside. Do it now. And he said, as that hair goes into the sewer, so your body will disintegrate. You're a fraud. And he cut off his dreadlocks. And he said, you are a dead man. You've deceived the people. You're no prophet of God. You're a deceiver. And he sheared all the dreadlocks off. And then he preached to them, and the pastors repented. Every one of them repented. Not this man. He wouldn't repent. And the king was there. King of the region. And they'd had 2 years with no rain. And the archbishop said, this day I declare the drought that this man brought upon this place over. Before I take off, he said, the rains will fall. And the skies were blue, no clouds. And the archbishop said to his driver, when he prayed for the pastors, he said, quick, take me to the airport. Get me to the plane. A storm's coming. And the pastor said that there is no storm. The sun's out, Archbishop. You don't need to go. He said, I'm going, quick. And they drove to the airport. And as he walked up the steps of the plane, the heavens opened up. It poured and poured. And the drought was broken. And he flew back to Benin City. A week later, he was sitting in his office. There was a banging on his door. And he said, what is it? There's a man here with his family desperate to see you. And he went out, and there was a man who was decomposing. His body was just rotting off the bone. It was this prophet. He was dying. And the family begged. And he begged the archbishop to forgive him for his fraud. He knew he was wrong. He knew what he was doing. He said, please forgive me. And so the archbishop said, I forgive you, God forgives you. And he prayed for him. And God restored his health. Not only did he do that, he joined the Bible school and he spent 4 years in the Bible school. And today he's a pastor preaching the truth of Jesus Christ without dreadlocks. No longer in fables, in reality. Preach the gospel, rebuke. When someone's wrong, tell them they're wrong. It's not something where you say, oh, well, you know, God bless you. any way counts. No, it doesn't. We're not there to make nice platitudes and teach people in a friendly way. We're there to rebuke and to exhort. Exhort those who are going right and rebuke those that go wrong. Boy, there's an offense in the cross. They got cross and offended when the archbishop challenged what they thought. It was a fable. Today, the fables, they're given preeminence. Why? Because people want preachers who are going to tell them, oh, God wants to make you feel good. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to have this. God wants you to have that. Well, first of all, God wants you to clean up your act. God wants you to do His will. Let's look in Matthew's Gospel. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. You know, when you start telling people, hey, you're wrong, they get mad at you. You know, when you're rebuked, the easiest thing, I don't like the way he said it, one in love. Well, the archbishop loved the man enough to cut his hair off. Glory to God. Dreadlocks aren't part of a Christian thing, it's part of a heathen worship. Is that plain? You know, the fashion of this world isn't our fashion. I'm not interested in what the world does. I'm interested in what God says. Rebuke. Exhort. I don't like that. If you're going to preach, be a preacher that does something. Don't be a preacher that just mouths off or teaches. There is no such thing as a teacher. There isn't. If he does not have authority in Christ. Authority. And authority comes because you have the life inside and live it. And you know God. I tell you, there are people that keep away from me. They're smart. Because if they come near me, I'll tell them straight. I know they dodge me. If you've got fear to face truth, then you better clean up your act and clean up your life. That's the way it is. No compromise. I don't take prisoners. Don't believe in it. In Matthew 7, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, verse 21, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Who's going to enter into heaven? He that doeth the will of my Father. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord. There's a lot of people who walk into church on a Sunday and they'll say, oh Lord. They'll sing, they'll do all the things, they'll pray, they'll do everything. But not everyone that says, Lord, Lord's going to enter in. Who's going to enter in? Those that do the will of my Father. Not those who believe fables. Not those who are religious. Not those who think there's a form that they can earn something from God with. Not those that live in their kind of culture. Not those that hide in their religion. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. It's those that do the will of my Father. That's plain, isn't it? Hello, isn't that plain? In other words, not everyone. You've got two types of people. You've got the hearers and you've got the doers. We've got a lot of people that come and hear, and we've got a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord. Trouble is they don't live it. You don't live it, you're in trouble. People say, oh, I believe, you know. The devil believes and trembles. Makes you no better than a devil to believe. Got to be a doer. We're going to come on and look at that. But look at this. I love it. You've got to do the will of my Father. He that doeth, verse 21, the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name taken a collection, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I added the collection. Go to some churches, it's like the man, you know, a plane, a 747 was going down, and the captain said, there's nothing we can do. Said, the engines have cut out, the plane's going down. If you go to church, do whatever you do in your church, your denomination. He said, because unless we have a miracle, we're all going to perish. One man got up, he shouted, has anyone got a hat? Someone raised, gave him a hat, and he went round to take a collection. That's all he did in the church. Others were praying, oh God, oh God. He was round there taking a collection. The air hostess said to him, what are you doing that for? You won't need it, we're all going to die. He said, it's what I do in church. And unfortunately, that's what some people do. It's their gift. That's why we don't take them. Don't like it. Someone said to me, hey, if you don't take collections, you're denying people a blessing. If you want to give, there's a hole in the wall at the back. If you don't want to give, God doesn't need it. Came to get your heart. You know, the Bible says you need to get saved first. And when you're saved, you have principles and responsibilities and obligations. If you don't keep them, that's your problem. That he goes on, many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what?
Doeth.
And what?
Doeth
them. The will of my Father which is in heaven, verse 21. Verse 24, doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What was the rock it was founded upon? It was doing what God said. It wasn't believing, it wasn't praying. It wasn't seeking. God doesn't want prayers, seekers. He wants doers. What he says, do. What my Father says, do. I'm to do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Is that plain? It's what you do that makes you what you are. Not what you believe. What you do. I find a lot of people, they just don't do what they should do. They never met John Wayne. A man has got to do what a man has got to do. And for a Christian has got to do what the Father says he should do. Is that plain? God wants what? A doer. What's a doer? It's a man who does what Father says. Do you know there are instructions in the Bible? Friendship with the world makes you the enemy of God. You play with the world at your peril. Love of money is the root of all evil. You want to know where evil is? It's where people love money. Hey, you can get churches where the fable of prosperity has got so big, the only thing they care about is their money. They give to God to get. God hates it. Love of money is root of all. Isn't it terrible when a church begins to lift money up, lift wealth up, as though wealth was a mark of respectability? Preachers begin to tell you how big their jet is. Love of money is... Church shouldn't be propagating that. Tell people, hey, now I'm not against money and I hate poverty. Don't think I'm pleading for poverty. I don't believe in poverty. A little sitting down, a little folding of the hands, poverty comes. You want to be something? Get an education. Excel in what you do. That's what a Christian should do. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might. You should be the head, not the tail. Poverty is a sin. Because if it takes a little sitting down and a little folding of the hands, that tells you where your poverty came from. You're lazy. But don't go after money. But when you think, you know, just live for that, you're going to be in trouble. Okay. Turn with me to... we'll take the foolish man. The foolish man, everyone, 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and what? Doeth them not. It's like the man that built his house on sand. And when the storms come and when the floods come, down goes the house. They both look the same. You know, there's lots of people that come to church, you can't tell. I can always tell a religious person from the non-religious, because when calamity comes, everything collapses. Watch out. If a family collapses, it's because they were religious, not because they were Christian. If the marriage collapses and the home collapses, it's because they're religion-bound, not Christian-bound. They're not doing the will of the Father. That's why when a storm comes, down everything goes. Hey, things will go wrong in life. Religion is a good mask and a good hiding place. But I tell you, when the real crunch comes, down goes everything. That shows you weren't built on the rock. If you'd been built on the rock, it'd stand. Could go through any storm, could go through any trial, could go through anything. It wasn't built on the word of God. It wasn't built on the Father's will. It was built on your lusts. And down it comes. And that goes for both partners. It goes for a home. Reason it collapses is they don't do the will of the Father. It's nice to blame something else. I've never met a married couple who come to me, haven't got themselves in a mess, and they sit at opposite ends of the sofa and each one throws insults at the other through me. They don't talk to each other, they talk to each other through me. I listen to them. Terrible. Both religious. Things go wrong. Now let me make it plain. No wife should be a punch ball for a husband, and no husband should be a punch ball for the wife. Whichever way round it is. Things go wrong because you don't follow Father's will. See? Religion. It brings everything down. You know, you say, oh, God said, oh, I believe. But you don't do it. Do it. Got to be a doer. Lots of young people, they marry the wrong person. Why? Because it's driven by their lusts and desires rather than God's will. You see a pretty girl and you get married to the pretty girl just because of her looks. Remember this, when she's 70, she'll be dropping her teeth in a glass by the bed. The looks won't last. You better make sure you have friendship. And you men, when your chest drops to your waist, you women, you won't admire him so much when his chest has dropped to his waist and, you know, his hair falls out. A lot of people look and they think that they marry for the wrong reasons. For lust. It soon messes you up in life. Then you see them later and you realize there's no way you can ever help them. Why? When a storm comes, there's going to be a crash. Bang. Is that plain? He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's what counts. John 13. Verse 34 says this, A new commandment I give unto you. What? That you love one another. If as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Now what shows us we're his disciples? If we have love one for another. The way to know the disciples is simple. Who really loves? I always know who's really born of God. It's dead easy for me to know. Because anyone who's truly born of God loves me. And it takes a real experience of God before you can. So I know it has to be God. See? You know, it's loving the disciples. I don't love the world. I really don't. Jesus said, how will people know you're my disciples? The love you have one for another. That distinguishes you from the world. Don't love the world. Love one another. You always know who's truly right with God by their affection for the people of God. You know who's wrong, they don't have any. That's the difference between a disciple and a religious man. The religious man, you can't do it out of yourself. If you think, I'm not talking about natural love. I'm talking about God. You can't love as Jesus loved unless Jesus lives in you. You can't understand the way Jesus is unless Christ is in you. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of Christ within. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You can't love as Jesus loved. Love one another. All right, have you got hold of that? But you need the love of God. You can't love people like Christ loved if you haven't got the Spirit of God inside. I know people that are religious, the eyeballs, probably one of them sitting next to you. They might know all the Bible. They might have done their Bible study. They might have done their Bible degree. They might think that. But I'll tell you something. If they don't do what God says, they're humbugs. If they don't live it. And you can't live love if God doesn't live in you. You can't love as Jesus loved without his life and spirit inside you. It's impossible. That's what's so wonderful about the gospel. Good news is, you can't do it. Good news is, you can't live the life that God wants you to live unless God lives in you and lives it for you. You can't love as Jesus loved if you don't have his love inside. That's why the Bible says God is the author and finisher of our faith. Love is not natural love, it's God love. Is that plain? That's a new commandment he gave us, that we should love one another even as he loved us. Boy, it rules out everyone who's not born again. You just can't do it. And you know, it goes on. Jesus said, you know, he loved us, says in Romans, when we were enemies of God. Christ died for us. While we were yet enemies, he laid down his life for us. And we've got to love one another as Christ loves us. That's plain, isn't it? Hello? It's not this universal nonsense. It's individuals. Love. Love was selfless. Jesus came and laid down his life for us. That's the love we have to have. It's a sacrificing love. It's the love we have to have. It's a love that's not seeking its own. That's the love we have to have. It's a love that's real. And if you don't do what Father says, you're in trouble. Build your house on a rock. Got to love. As Christ loved. Do you know? Now, if I love you as Christ loves you, he sees the people are hungry, he sits you down and gives you food. Behold the multitude, he says, they're hungry. Has anyone got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes? Oh, and I can, what? You've got a Snickers bar. Thanks, brother. That'll do me. What have you got to do? You've got to love one another. Let me tell you something. When storms come and trials come, you can flee the storm if your life isn't built on the rock. But if your life is built on the rock, you'll stand in the midst of the storm and your life won't fall apart. If your life falls apart, it's because you're a religious humbug. If your marriage and your home falls apart, it's because you're a religious humbug. If you were stuck on the rock instead of on religion, you'd stand. Every relationship goes through rocky times. Every family has difficulties at some time or other. And then it really finds you out whether you're a Christian or a humbug. I mean, is your life going to stand in the midst of the storm when the floods come and the rains beat? Or are you going to be one of these that just runs away? You stand in the midst of adversity. You know, one of the things I've found in a church is you have to stand and you have to be prepared to stand for the truth no matter what. People who tell lies about you. Do you know, they always attack the leaders in the church. Have you noticed that? They attack Christ. With Stephen, they didn't like what he said. They shut their ears and then they gnashed their teeth and they ran on him and stoned him. Being a preacher is not the best kind of calling in the world. Because I tell you what, if you want to know something, you make people mad or glad. You know something? You've got to make up your mind whether you'll defend the ministry, and the ministry resides in a person. It's not some mythical thing. It's a person. Peter was a person. Stephen was a person. Paul was a person. Jesus was a person. Philip was a person. You'll find the scripture all the way through. I'll tell you what happens. It soon shows who loves. I find people who are prepared for the pastor to lay down his life for the sheep. But the sheep aren't prepared to defend. Something's wrong. It's the way it is. Poor old Paul said, "All Asia has deserted me. Not one stood with me." Boy, poor old Paul. And yet the gospel had gone out right throughout the whole of the regions of Asia with Paul's ministry, and yet every single person turned their back on him. And in the end, that's the way the cookie crumbles. When you get older, you'll know what it costs. There's no glamour in it. Why? Because you rebuke. Why? Because you exhort. Why? Because you don't go after fables. You go after the truth of God. And in the end, the only person you're going to please is your Father in heaven. And I'll tell you, there's people who fail in the ministry because they love the praises of people more than the praises of God. They love to compromise and make people feel happy because they're not prepared to stand for truth. Absolute truth. There are people who won't come to me ever to talk to me. They'll go to other people. I'll tell you why they'll go to other people, because they know they'll get the answer they want. They won't face truth. Because truth is too hard, so they seek out somewhere else where they can get solace and comfort and lies. It's It's just the way it is. But it's the way it's always been. Watch out. If you counsel with the wrong person, I'll tell you what the road is. It's destruction. You'll live in a false religion instead of a true hope. Listen, and listen well. Just trusting God will take you to hell. You've got to be a doer of the word, and you've got to live what Christ says, and you've got to follow the Father, and you've got to abandon manhood and humanity and everything else to go God's way. It's the cross. And if you won't do that and won't pay that price, he'll say in that day, I didn't know you. Don't let anyone kid you. Don't let anyone persuade you. Don't let anyone tell you it's different. You have to have the love of God. Don't let anyone tell you there's an easier way. Jesus said to his disciples, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, there's no part in me. The cross, death, resurrection is all to do with surrender. And if you don't do it, don't believe you have life, because you don't. Life isn't in feeling good. I'll tell you what life is. It's to do with conviction of the Holy Ghost. To do with choices. It's to do with his word. But not the teaching word that doesn't challenge you. It's the teaching word that gets right inside you. Makes you so, you either boil or you squirm. If it's just a word that's going to tell you how wonderful you are, I tell you, it'll do you no good at all. You should know better than to believe you're wonderful until Christ comes, and then you have his nature and he's wonderful, and then he lives within you. I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of this. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of Christ. Up to that point, you're going to be at enmity with God. You're going to love the world, and you're going to love the things of the world, and you're going to hate the things of God. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how many times you sing song. It doesn't matter how much you pray. Doesn't matter if you fast. Doesn't matter what you do. You're going to hate God. Inside, you're trying to use him to get what you want. But you'll fail. You'll build, but it'll be on sand, because you won't be a doer of the word. You're a hearer only. And when the floods come and the trials of life come, I'll tell you what will happen. Down will come the charade. Everyone will say, ah, I thought that person was a Christian. I thought. Yeah, you might have thought it. But, you know, God's got a flood waiting for you. God's got a storm. He'll soon bring it to pass. And how mighty is the fall of it. And everyone looks. And you know, everyone, humanity likes to apportion blame. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you're on the rock, you're unshakable. On the rock means living according to the word, doing it. Amen. Not a popular word. But then, who wants to be popular? Not me. Remember someone saying to me in the early part of the church, said, If you water everything down, a lot more people will stay. I said, I'd rather we had less people, less to do. I don't want someone who's going to be a sham. I want someone who's going to be true. Well, I know who's who. Don't think I can't tell. Wise up. You deceive your own self. Gotta love. Like Christ loved. And it takes someone with the love of God to love me. I know that. And I want to keep it that way. It's the best way to be. God wants us to be serious. Got to be a doer of the word. Amen? Let me ask you a question. Question. And you can answer God. Are you doing the will of the Father? Do you really love the brethren? Do you love the word of truth? Or are you only interested in getting your own way? Or do you want God's way? Are you built on the rock? Is your life built on the rock? Do you know the reality of God's Spirit within? Do you love with God's love? Do you love as He loved? You know there's something about Jesus. He loved. He saw what no one else could see. He understood. In the end, you know, you get misunderstood no matter what. I don't think anyone knows I think it was Oral Roberts that said, the higher up the mountain you go, the fewer there are that go with you. I'm not sure it's going up the mountain. I think it's just being obedient, doing what God says. I'm not this type of person who goes into, you know, an ivory tower to hide away and say, oh God, I don't walk up and down on a Friday night. Doesn't take me a month to make a sermon. Doesn't take me an hour. It only takes a moment for God to speak to me. I don't understand the people that have to spend hours. That's just flesh. Just a moment. Can't understand how people don't know. One thing I know. I know Him with whom I have to do. And I'm certain, because I know Him. There was a day when I would walk round a room and I could pick people out and just read off their lives. I'd tell them what they did when they were children. I could tell them what they did through their life. I found it didn't help them. Strange thing is, that same gift is still inside. If I open my inward ears and look, if I turn on my radar, it's all there. But I learned a secret long ago. You can't change a man, you can't change a woman. No truth will change them. The foolishness of preaching seems such a foolish vehicle. That's why I don't like counseling people. I'd rather God met them. When people are always creeping off, wanting to go and talk to someone and pour out their filth, doesn't really help. You've got to be born again of the incorruptible word of God. God's got to get inside. And when he comes inside, everything changes. Everything changes. And apart from that, nothing works. Why is it God chose that way? I don't know. Why did God make us like we are? I don't know. Why is it, Lord, that some can see and others never see? I don't know. Why is it you open the ears of some and others never hear? I don't know. One thing I know, he loved us. One thing I know, he came to earth to redeem us. One thing I know, he bled and died and took your sin and my sin into his own body on the tree. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven on the 40th day. On the 50th, he poured out the Holy Ghost. He birthed the church. One thing I know, he did it all. And he loves us. One thing I know, there are so few people that understand his love. And if you don't understand that, how could you love as he loved? If you don't know what is the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God, if you don't comprehend with all saints, you can't do what he says you've got to do. Said to the disciples, a new commandment I'm giving you. You've got to love one another as I have loved you. What a mystery. What a challenge. Didn't say pray a lot. Didn't say fast. He said love. As he loved. Then they'll know you're my disciple. That's how you know whether you really belong to him or not. Can you love people with the love of God? If you can't do that, you've got religion, but you haven't got him. That's where it's at. How is it that you can pick up a man and you can pray for a man and God can meet him? And you look at the same man 2 weeks later and he's gone like a dog back to his vomit or a pig to his filth. And you say, God, how could someone do that? And then you realize they're never born from above, just an experience. How could they go back? They don't listen. They don't hear. Their life goes down. You tell them the truth, and a moment later they're back in what? And you say, oh. And then you understand their nature never changed. See, a dog is a dog is a dog. That's how some people are. Get them in a meeting and they'll respond, and God can do a beautiful thing and clean up their lives. But you know, they haven't got through that door before they're looking for the dung. And you think, how can that be? It's their nature. It's never changed. They're trapped. Inside, they're trapped by their own nature. They'll come. They'll respond so far, no further. And you think, but oh, when the day of redemption comes, what a change. But for us, someone came. His name, Jesus. He said, okay, I know your struggle. I know the conflict inside. I know the mess. I know the hopelessness. I know the inability. I know you can't. But I can. And he bled and died on Calvary's tree to make the impossible possible. The evangelical says, no, that won't happen till you die and leave the earth. I want to tell you, it'll happen today. God can translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his own son. People say, no, you can't change a nature. I want to tell you, you can become a partaker of a divine nature where it's natural to go right. It's a choice. But if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. Born again, not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh. You know, every heretic is an Arminian. He believes it's man's will. That's heresy. If it were man's will, we'd have had to be at Calvary. Jesus redeemed us 2,000 years ago before we were born. It's God's sovereign act. I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I don't believe there's nothing I can do. Oh, there's something I can do. I can read my Bible. I can get where the Word of God is preached. I can open my heart to hear the Word. I can respond when I know God's speaking inside. I can choose to hear God. Or I can close my ears. That I can do. And I want to assure you of one thing. God is a true and faithful witness. He'll bring you in. Because He loves you. If you're called. And if you're not called, nothing. Man cannot save you. Someone once said, what about Judas? Could he have been saved? I want to tell you, no. Jesus said, for this purpose you were born. Paul writes and he says, there's some vessels to honor and some to dishonor. Does it take hope away from people? No. The reason you're here is God got you here. The reason He moved upon you to let you know. The reason He drew you. It's wonderful. I find it the most glorious thing to believe in the sovereignty of God. My God chose me when I didn't deserve it. I try to prove He didn't exist. Glory to God. He chose you. When we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. Wonderful. That's God's love. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning. Lord, words seem so weak. But your Spirit is true. Father, we're on this earth to do thy will, to be God pleasers. Lord Jesus, in your grace and your love, let the word of life flow into heart. Thank you that you came to redeem us, not to condemn us. You came to save us, to heal us. Father, I pray for each one. Let us turn from fables to the truth of the living God. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's asked for prayer. Lord, let your healing flow reach to them this day. Master, do a miracle for them. Quicken them. Heal them. Deliver them, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.